I like to think of, just look at the word man, and it's singular, not man of God. And there's the question, there's every man for himself, sort of. And I'd like to look at Elijah. He said, he cried to the Lord and said, I only am left, and you seek my life. He was looking and he was speaking in the singular again. But then after that, in verse 18, the Lord encourages him and tells him that there are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee. And to me, it's an encouragement to take the responsibility on myself and not to wait for someone else to encourage me to be a man of God. I don't need David next to me to be a man of God. That's between him and the Lord. But then the Lord, in his grace, he could encourage me later on and show me, yes, David is also a man of God. He's living for the Lord. And that would be an encouragement at the time that I need.
I was thinking also, I think I've heard this before and I appreciate the thought that the last letter that Paul wrote was to an individual. So it wasn't all to assembly, because there was going to be failure in collective senses, but God is the one in these last days looking for individual faithfulness, and that's why I appreciated the thought, so I thought I would share it with others too. And that's why the last thing he wrote was to an individual, saying, right, you, Timothy, the man of God, be fully established and know everything, you know, from the word and study and all those things.
If we pick that thought up, Dave, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, and I think that there's some very good instruction in the characteristics that ought to, at least one characteristic that ought to be seen in the man of God, and that is that we're separate from evil, right? We don't have anything to do with that which is evil, and we don't need to spend time there, but I just point that out since you mentioned that up.
There is another example that comes to my mind. There is Enoch, who walked with God. And we read in our verse 11 there, flee these things. And we know that Enoch was a man just before the judgment of the flood. His son, I think, is a Methuselah. His name means that when he will die, this will come. And I'm making a relation also that he walked with God, so we see a practical life for God. Fleeing the things of below, because it was a wicked time in which he was living. And I'm thinking also of the call of the Lord for the church of Laodicea. He's knocking at the door, calling every one of us personally to open the door and walk with him.
Some verses in Galatians chapter 5 have been suggested also regarding the fruit of the Spirit. I think anyone that would be called a man of God would be someone who is in the Spirit and displaying those characteristics. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I think, again, those are some characteristics that a man of God would display, you know, and that, I think that goes for both the personal life and public as well.
I was maybe thinking another characteristic we had mentioned, separation from evil. I don't know whose man it was, if it was David or somebody else's man, but it's mentioned that they had understanding of the times. Mm-hmm. Was it David's
Sons
man?
Of Issachar.
Okay, yeah. So it was somebody. Yeah. Anyway, so like they understood the times in which they lived in, and that's really what Paul is trying to tell Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3, that in these last days, these things are going to happen. So it's understanding the conditions that are around us and then knowing that that's the kind of thing we need to separate from.
Very good. In 1 Timothy, I guess that comes before 2 Timothy, and by the time we get 2 Timothy, it's the church, there's further declension. And in verse 11 here, it says flee, but the words in 2 Timothy 2 are a lot more serious. In 2:16, there's the word shun. Verse 19, depart. Verse 21, purge. 22, flee, avoid, in the next verse, and in the next chapter, turn away, in chapter 3:5. So we're living a few thousand, couple thousand years later, and how much more should we be separating?
And can I just add in there, also in that same chapter in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, another word in verse 22 is follow, too. And so I think both of those things go together, that there is a clear understanding of the ease with which we can get caught up in the wrong things, things that will become obstacles. We also should be following this, and this with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's very easy to, you'll understand what I mean if I say overemphasize the fleeing to the point that we become loners and freelancers, and we sort of don't see anyone serving the Lord but us, you know, because we're really faithful to the Lord and nobody else really is. When we focus on ourselves like Elijah did, that's his lowest point, where he's saying, I'm the only one left. Why am I always the one serving the Lord? When he was just ready to answer the call of the Lord for himself, he served as a man of God, and he was effective in the service that God gave him. When he started saying, wow, I'm the one that is serving God, it brought him low. So we want to flee, and we also want to follow, and follow the right things.
And I'd like to pick up on that thought of pursuing, which is another way of saying follow. It says here in our portion to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And that's kind of skipping over the thought of the characteristics. It's we're getting into what a servant is supposed to do, but that's okay. If that's the way the Lord's leading right now, that's fine. And just to think of this word pursue, it's an athletic word that has the idea of running after to overtake. And that's the thought. And you and I are to run after these things. There's six of them mentioned here. We're to run after these things and overtake them. And notice, one of them is the very subject that we have this afternoon, godliness. And we're to overtake that in our life. Now, if we were to detail these things and to look at each one specifically, the thought that I would say with godliness, as we've said all along, it's not an attribute, it's a right attitude toward God. It's personal character displayed in our conduct. And that's really what we're talking about. And there's other things that we're to pursue throughout Scripture. There's other things that we're to follow. Six of them are given here. Romans chapter 13 says we're to pursue hospitality. We're to, the one that is very challenging to me, and it's going to connect back to what Steve had just a second ago, is...